Hi, I'm Neil Ronahan, and welcome to NWR Newscast, episode 36 for Saturday, January 15th, 2011. With me today are the usual crew. We got Andy Gergen.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Nathan Mustafa.
Hey.
And Zachary Miller.
Yo, yo, yo.
All right, so last week I was ill, but this week I am better, and I got some bones to pick with you guys.
You're gonna kill us.
Neil's going to kill us.
No, I'm actually not gonna kill you. I mean, I assumed that you guys thought I was gonna kill you over the whole Kirby thing.
It was Mario and some of the stuff I edited out.
Oh, okay. What did you edit out? Dare I ask?
You will never know.
Oh, no.
I know. They were just stabs at your mother. Sorry, Mrs. Ronahan.
But I mean, other than that, I just wanted to say, I guess, a little bit about like the Wii DS release stuff. DaBlob 2 actually looks to be a pretty cool 2D platformer with the blob like aspects. It's developed by Half Brick, which I forget they did some.
They made Fruit Ninja and Monster Dash on the iPhone.
Yes,
Fruit Ninja was good. Monster Dash, eh?
Yeah. But like they've got a pretty good portable pedigree, and DaBlob 3DS I believe is kind of unconfirmed. Like I think it was on that initial list, but nothing more has been said about it. It might be a completely different game. It might be DaBlob 2 with 3D. It's not really known.
You paint the air.
that would be fucking trippy.
Yeah, it would be.
But also, Inazuma 11, that was on the list because I believe Matt Blunden is planning to import it, but that's only coming out in Europe at the end of January. And so that's not a North American release.
Retraction.
And that's like an arcade, cartoony soccer RPG, so I'm probably going to try to import it too.
Yeah.
I just hope it's not Academy of Champions. I hope it's Sega Soccer Slam.
How are you going to import it?
Because it's a DS game.
Oh, it's a DS game and not a 3DS. Yeah. Okay, that's right. I was thinking 3DS for some reason. Okay.
Yeah. I think that's about it, because Pokemon Rules, also, Radiant Historia.
We were just kidding. We didn't make any cracks about your mom. She's totally hot.
All right, cool.
Okay, Zach.
Yeah, but that's all I've got for corrections, I believe, or at least additions, more like it, because outside of Inazuma 11, you didn't get anything fundamentally wrong.
Well,
I will say before we get too deep into this episode, I will go forward and say that the reason the last three episodes were so long is just because they were year end and year forward prediction
and year
stuff.
Beginning. Right.
I promise you, all of our feature episodes aren't going to be 2 hours long. That was sort of one of those things that we didn't realize that had happened until we were done. But going forward,
we were amazed at the end.
So if you were a little scared off by the length of the last couple of shows, last three shows. Understand that it's not
I'm taking it down.
Yeah,
a notch.
we're gonna bring it back a little bit so that you're not listening to NWR podcast
maybe,
all day long.
Edit for maybe three less hours a week.
Wouldn't that be nice?
These episodes are going to be a little shorter, but maybe a little wider. You know, so it all evens out.
Maybe. Yeah, you're
there
right.
There you go.
Get more range.
We're gonna do a regular episode for y'all today. This is the first regular episode we've done in like a month.
Yeah, so it's gonna be weird. Since early December, I'm pretty sure.
And,
back to basics.
And I'm gonna hit the ground running by a special segment. In addition to what you're reviewing, we also got what you're previewing.
Hey,
and, I got a preview cart for Monster Tail, which is a DS game developed by Dream Rift, which is made up of guys who made Henry Hatsworth. It's published by Majesco, and it's a Metroidvania game with some kind of Tamagotchi-like stuff, and it's freaking amazing.
How far along is it? Is it a fully finished game?
Yes. I actually found out today, which made me really excited, because right now I'm halfway through the second world, and I found out that the preview card that I have is pretty much the full game.
Ooh,
awesome.
Nice.
I'm as excited as a pig in shit right now, because that means I have... there's five worlds in all. It seems to be pretty long right now. I've put probably 4.5 hours into it, or maybe I think more 4.5.
Wow.
And I'm near the end of the second world. I mean, I've been slow boating it a little bit, like just, I guess kind of like being a lot more meticulous, but even still, like if you're a completionist, It's easily a 10-hour game from what I've seen so far.
So what's the appeal of the monster? Is it just, do you get to level it up like a Pokemon or something? What does it do?
Yes. All right. So, well, first I'll talk about the whole base for the story is that, like, you're this girl who winds up in, like, this monster world, and then you find an egg, and then the egg hatches, and it's, like, a monster, and you call him Chomp, and he's your buddy.
Togepi. But,
yeah. So Ellie is basically just Samus, but, like, designed, or, like, her character design does not look like Samus, but her controls are pretty much like Samus. Like, she has a projectile move. At first, it's just, like, I mean, it's like a little dot on the screen that travels, and it stops, it's short. And then you get the metaphorical long beam, and then it goes across the full screen, and then you get different power-ups that change the projectile. There's even, like, a roll that basically functions as the morph ball. You have a wall jump that you get. You also have a melee attack where she's like a satchel and you beat things with it. So that's fun.
Nice.
But a lot of the power-ups that you get as her are very reminiscent of stuff that you would find in a Metroid game, which might seem, I guess, a little bit of a turnoff because it's like kind of done before. Mm-hmm. But the way this game does it, it's like, the design of the game is different than a Metroid game as far as like the presentation and everything. So it still feels really fresh and it's, you know, just with the girl alone, it's a really cool Metroidvania-styled game that, I mean, I would draw comparisons to Shantae as well because it has that same kind of 2D animation that's really nice. Probably, I mean, I think WayForward's definitely, I guess, more trained, like, sprite artists than Dream Rift, but it still looks really nice.
Right, they put a lot of time into the boob animations to please the Zacks of the world.
There's no boob animation. She's
looking
a little girl.
At screenshots right now. She looks flat as a board and about 12 years old.
Oh my god, Zach.
Anyway, let's just move on. So you got the monster, Chomp, and he, for the most part, or I guess he can reside on the bottom screen.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what he can do on the bottom screen is sometimes there will be objects that are on the bottom screen to interact. There's an early boss in which you have to switch him between the top and bottom screen to, like, attack the monster, because it'll go from the top screen to the bottom screen. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple other things that I've run into where you need to do that, like, to, like, platform and stuff like that. But for the most part, what he does there is he, like, recharges his power, and you also find items like cookies, books,
cookies.
Candy, cherries.
Okay.
Occasionally you'll find a catapult or a soccer ball, and with the catapult and the soccer ball, like, you go down, and, like, he just has to, like, spend time, like, I guess, like, doing something to it. Like, the book, it's kind of funny, because if you look down at the bottom screen when he's reading a book, he has little glasses on, and you can see that he's reading the book. And then after that, he gets experience and, like, a boost to his intelligence. And that also goes for, depending on, you know, whether it's a soccer ball, a cookie, candy, etc., you get other boosts other than just experience. And, like, if you get a soccer ball or a catapult, then the catapult will, like, you know, launch cannonballs onto the screen and hurt mm-hmm. enemies, or the soccer ball will bounce around Super Smash Brothers style and knock out a bunch of enemies.
Nice.
Cool.
And the whole level up system is that he will level up, you know, get boosts in his, like, there's, like, you know, strength, stamina, intelligence, etc. And he'll also learn different moves that, like, it'll, and he has two different special moves that are mapped to the L and R button. And you also get a lot of traits that will be, like, you know, like strength boost, defense boost, etc. And the moves, one that you get early on is a torpedo, in which it's basically he just does a like powerful, like, you know, straight on attack. Or there's other ones where it's like a tongue throw, where, like, you know, he will use his tongue to eat an enemy and then spit him out, Yoshi style. And
nice.
And then he also has, if he's just hanging out on the top screen, he'll float around and just attack enemies on his own.
Oh, that's cool.
Does he and there's a lot of other cool moves.
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't gotten to that point yet. But
probably.
To make it even cooler is that he has these different forms. He starts off as like a baby, adolescent, what have you.
A baby adolescent.
And you get all these different forms. There's probably about like 10 to 15 forms in the adolescent tree. And there's also, I'm currently in the teenager, like, evolution tree. I believe there's an adult, maybe more after that, maybe like old man tree.
Is there an elderly tree where you return to your baby stage?
but there's all these different forms that you can go to, and they all have, like, you know, different specialties that will be, like, you know, one will be more focused on, you know, like, up close attacks. One of them will be focused on defense or protecting Ellie. And they all also have different, like, alignments. It's just, like, I guess grass, water, and fire are the three different alignments. And there's also, so far I've unlocked one that's, like special. So I guess it's outside of, like, the kind of the rock, paper, scissors of the grass, water, fire.
Psychic
and as
type.
You get to, yeah, as you... As you get to later, as you get to later worlds, there will be enemies that are fire based or water based or grass based, and you could do more moves if you use attacks that are based in that element or forms that are in that element.
Cool.
Well,
and
that sounds cool.
As you level up each one, you get different moves, and if you level them up even more, you'll unlock new forms. You'll master those moves, so you can use them in any form.
Cool.
And it's a really cool mechanic because it keeps you, you know. It makes the idea of just fighting random enemies, like, a little less mundane. Like, I definitely found that in, like, Metroid Other M especially. There wasn't really any kind of reward for killing enemies.
Well, after outside you clear of, like, getting out of the room, enemies because, in a room, you figure out where all the treasures are.
Yeah.
But
still,
even
after that, if you go back through that room, you won't want to kill those fucking enemies. It's not like you get a health power up or anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, in this game, you know, you kill enemies, you get experience. It's a lot more, you know, that works. And there's other Metroidvania games that do, like, the Castlevania games do that.
Right.
But, yeah, I really like this game. It's a ton of fun. I'll have a pretty freaking robust preview.
Do you think that separating the monster and thereby separating the leveling mechanic from the player character adds any sort of value?
Yeah.
Like what? Does it make it more fun to have it on the bottom screen and have to pull it up to use your abilities, or?
Well, I mean, it kind of adds more, I guess, strategy to it. And it's also nice because, you know, Ellie by herself can take care of business, but then you also have that added bonus of, you know, the dude on the bottom screen that can come up. But it just kind of adds, like, almost like a Pokemon-esque mechanic to it, where, you know, you want to level them up, you want to get them to evolve.
Right. And I guess my question is, you know, like, not to drag this on really long, is that traditionally the Castlevania games just have that layer of leveling on your character, you know, and you level up, you do get all the new abilities and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Cool. I mean, I like the interaction between Ellie and the monster because I mean the monster's cute too. There's
this,
that going.
This sounds like a game.
I guess there's not
me.
Really any kind of like tangential or like describable like added value by having them split up.
Yeah.
But I don't think it hurts the game either.
Cool.
I guess maybe it's a wash, but it's a really really cool game. If you're a fan of cool 2D games that are Metroidvania. Like, totally look forward to this game when it comes out in March. We're also going to have a developer diary starting January 24th and running until the game's launch.
How's the difficulty level? Because I remember Hatsworth was pretty challenging from what I remember people talking about.
It is nowhere near as hard as Hatsworth. I mean, it's also, like, because you have the leveling mechanic, and you also, there's, like, stores where you can buy upgrades and stuff, too, for Ellie, and, like, get her, like, you know, stronger melee damage, more health. It definitely, I mean, I haven't gotten to the third world yet, which, for anyone that played Hatsworth, you'll know that the third world of Hatsworth was pretty much hell. At least the boss of that stage was. But so far the game has been, I don't think I may have died once early on, but I may have only died once at most, and I've put 4 hours into the game. So it's not really that hard. It's a lot more of just an enjoyable experience.
Very good.
Cool.
I never played Hatsworth because I was kind of scared off by the difficulty that I kept hearing about.
I never got past the difficulty. I got it for $10 because I was scared by the difficulty too because I have, like, you know, friends that are way better at games than me. Like, they were like, man, Hatsworth was super tough. And I'm just like, oh shit.
Yeah.
They're better at games than I am. I'm not going to be able to beat that. And
exactly.
I really enjoyed Hatsworth, but the levels are really long too. And that kind of, like, goes against it because, like, you'll be playing this platforming level for, like, 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's not that it's bad, but it's, like, there's, like, make it 5 minutes long, split it into three levels. It'll be better.
Yep.
Yep.
I'm with you on that.
But enough about Hatsworth. I'll move on to a game that I'm reviewing, which is Worms Battle Islands for Wii. I'm not going to talk too long about this. It's basically a Worms game for Wii. And it very clearly was for a fact, it was a WiiWare game originally. And it visually and plays and everything like a WiiWare game.
Yeah.
Except for you can tell that it's a WiiWare game that probably was over the 40 meg limit, so they put it on a disc.
Oh my god!
And sold it for $30.
The Worms franchise has just stagnated. I really think I need to go back to Worms 3D. In fact, if I had to defend a game on the GameCube, I would love defending Worms 3D.
We should do that sometime.
We should do that because I think Worms 3D.
I think I saw that.
I think that Worms. Whatever the second one that came out on 360, mm-hmm. and there was a computer version that came out in like August.
Okay,
like that is, in my opinion, like almost a perfect game.
You talking?
But it's been the same game for a dozen years now. Right?
Yeah, but it's so refined in that game.
But the assets haven't
changed.
That's the thing.
Is like, I mean, I love like Worms Armageddon and stuff like that. But there was always like presentation wise and how everything controlled. There was always something a little off.
Right.
But like with that 360 game and that PC game, just like everything is so highly refined.
Hmm.
Maybe I just haven't put enough time into the franchise.
This is a step back in a lot of ways. Worms Battle Islands.
I guess
some of the cool things about it is that you have this like your player's island that you build up and you use in this. This multiplayer mode called Tactics Mode,
mm-hmm.
and you can use different abilities that your island builds up as you play the game. Like, there's an experience system that you get for, like, you know, winning multiplayer matches and beating the single-player campaign and levels there. And you build up your base to work in this Tactics Mode to give you different abilities and different powers to use in that. The only problem is that it really, the leveling up only seems to work for that, and you also, like, unlock different, like, things for your worms to wear. Like, the first level that I gained, it was just like, you got a new hat. I'm just like, cool. Thanks.
There's
a lot of customization with, you know, what you make your worms and everything, which is, you know, par for the course with the series. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I don't really like about it is that the interface feels like it's worms for, like, children. Like, it's like, mm-hmm. like, you know, every icon is fucking gigantic. It's totally made for a pointer, but I've been playing it with the Wii Remote on the side, which does not use a pointer. You can play it, I believe, Wii Remote Nunchuck. There's also motion stuff involved, too, but I haven't checked that out yet. It's just, it's not that it's a terrible game. It's just that there are far superior Worms games out there. There just happen to be none on the Wii. Or I think there is one on the Wii, but I haven't played
it. Yeah, there is. It's called Worms 3D Backwards Compatibility.
Worms 3D's how, Worms 3D, from my memory, that's the one where like you have like the third person perspective on the worm.
Yes.
Right?
How could that game like not that game. Fit into the WiiWare size requirements? It's like the smallest game
I mean,
in the world.
I mean, I don't
it's
know
a
for
one
a fact.
Screen game.
I don't know that for a fact. Maybe it was also they wanted to make They wanted to sell it for $30 instead of like $10 or $15.
That may have
yeah,
been.
That's possible.
I mean, that's just my theory.
It's not like the Worms franchise is known for its greatest business decisions.
Yeah, it's just a Worms game slapped on a disc.
Yeah.
And it shows a lot.
Right
in
on.
In every aspect of the game. Yeah, so that's all I got to say about that.
Well,
let's move on to Andy, who's talking about a new release.
I got this game about a week ago. I mentioned it on the last episode, but I hadn't received it quite then. I think I got it the very next day. It's Lost in Shadow. It's a Hudson game. Just came out last week, I believe, last Tuesday.
Yeah, January 4th.
Yeah. Well, okay, a couple weeks ago then. It's a unique game. I've never played anything exactly like it before. The premise of the game is you control this boy who, in the opening cutscene, his shadow is severed from him, and the shadow is thrown off of this giant tower. You don't control the boy himself, you control his shadow. So, like, it's actually kind of interesting because the foreground kind of shifts between all these different perspectives as you play the game. Sometimes it looks like you're looking at, like, an open field, like a top-down Zelda game. Sometimes it looks like very much like a 2D platformer, and it's only coincidental that the shadows happen to lie right behind the platforms. The foreground is constantly shifting and changing around. It never looks the same from area to area, really. And you play the shadow being projected against the background. So the shadow is always a 2D platformer. It just depends on, you know, whatever shadows are being cast by whatever's in the foreground. And that it's actually kind of interesting because sometimes your angle is or the shadow is very, like, slanted and angled, and that kind of changes as you walk across. Like, part of the part of the allure of the game is you're kind of watching the foreground be completely useless to you as you control what's projected onto this like angled slanted surface on the background. It's actually takes a while to wrap your mind around exactly what it is you're looking at sometimes. I can't tell you the number of times that I have gone up to an object forgetting that I'm supposed to be attacking the shadow and trying to attack the foreground instead. It's a really cool effect. I don't know if they necessarily take full advantage of it. See, this game should be in my wheelhouse. This game should be totally up my alley. It's basically got the graphic style of Eco, which you may know is a game that I really, really love. It's like a beigeish yellow brick castle with like a grassy background and a very kind of bleak interior. And it's got the gameplay of something like Limbo, maybe sort of a shadowy figure with a lot of 2D platformers and some traps you're trying to avoid. Dude, Limbo doesn't suck. Limbo is great.
I did not enjoy. I played the demo of Limbo and did not like it.
I haven't even played the full game of Limbo. I only played the demo.
Of Kirby's Epic Yarn. I could see where you.
I only played the demo of Limbo so far, and I really, really enjoyed it. Like, it's just, it's atmospheric as hell, and the gameplay is fluid, and it's brutal.
To me, the gameplay seemed to be rely too much on trial and error, and that's what kind of bothered me. Be like, oh, too bad bear trap.
Yeah, maybe. There's something.
I do like the aesthetic.
I'm talking about Limbo.
Yeah. The aesthetic is really cool, I'll give you that, but I did not enjoy, you know, oh, bear trap.
Well, I mean, Lost in Shadows.
Do you not see these bear traps?
It's a 2D platformer.
Well, you can't because
they're
it's
the same color as the foreground.
Oh,
yeah.
Which is
you can see them if you can see them once you know they're there. It's clear that they're there, but you probably won't notice them the first time you walk up to them.
Yeah, gotcha.
So Lost in Shadow is kind of the same way, except for I think it's not quite as doesn't try to trick you as much. So after you've been doing your running and jumping platformer stuff for a little while, they throw a sword at you. Not literally throw a sword at you, but they throw a sword into the mix, which brings an element of combat into the game, which is, I guess, it fits naturally into the game, but they don't really handle it particularly well. A lot of the combat.
So it's like a shadow sword?
Yeah, it's the shadow of a sword that you pick that is once in the foreground. Once your character grabs the shadow of the sword, the foreground version of it vanishes, and it's just a shadow of a sword in your hand. It looks like the shadow of a boy holding a sword.
But very cool.
All right.
The combat is largely based around running up, attacking, and then backing off, and then running up and attacking and backing off. And if they had kind of built that into the control scheme a little bit, that'd be one thing. But they really haven't. So it's just a lot of quickly retreating, without any real, without any real finesse to it. And the enemies are not particularly interesting. They're basically like aliens or insect looking things. Some of them have red eyes, which means you can kill them with your sword. Some of them have blue eyes, which means you have to find a way to kill them with the environment. Usually some sort of like trap based puzzle where you'll lure them into an area and then you'll hit a switch and it'll drop a spike on them or something. And that's kind of fun, I guess. But most of the combat is pretty rote. It's just like the enemies will take one, two, or three hits with the sword to go away. And that's it. You do have a basic leveling up mechanic. When you kill an enemy, you'll get a little bit of health and a little bit of experience. And I can't, I put 5 hours into the game and I can't for the life of me figure out what the hell experience is supposed to do for you. I guess it makes your sword more powerful. Maybe it makes your combat easier. But
it makes you feel good.
I think the enemies also slowly get more powerful. Like without even really necessarily changing form. So if you get slowly more powerful and so do the enemies, I fail to see how that's, anything
that's
but a wash.
Really,
That's actually kind of like Oblivion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like you only have one attack.
I played a lot of Oblivion and I slightly regret it.
Oh man, I played over 100 hours of Oblivion easily.
Oh my gosh.
I regret
it. In an RPG,
I probably put like 50 or 60 hours into it.
In an RPG, it's one thing because you can vary up the way in which you attack it, but this game has a single button where you slice your sword, and that your sword slice gets slightly stronger, and so do the enemies over time. It seems silly. And I guess the main thing about the game is it's not as exciting as I would like. I've been playing for 5 hours.
It's just kind of boring.
The gameplay is pretty much remained unchanged for those 5 hours. There are things that I don't quite understand. Like, for instance, I have an item screen that's been blank for 5 hours. I'd like to know when exactly it is I'm supposed to find some items besides my sword. There are occasionally these little glowing things in the foreground and background that I get the impression I could somehow teleport into the foreground. But it's never told me exactly how to do that. I have to imagine it's a thing that I'll be backtracking for later. But I don't know.
Clearly you're playing it wrong.
A little text box telling me that what it is or anything would have been nice. Like, they're just completely ignoring all the things that I can't quite do yet, which
you should see if you can double jump. That helped Nathan.
Yeah.
Cycle through every character out of the, like, 20 characters you can, and see if one of them can double jump, maybe.
All right. I'll be sure to do that.
Just try it out.
The story is kind of interesting. There seems to be, like, some sort of a giant... There's one stage so far where I've had to escape this giant shadow monster, which is entirely constructed of flailing hands and feet. And then at some point, it was referred to again in a still picture cutscene that basically indicated that this tower was invaded by this thing, and they tried to destroy it by sacrificing a small boy. I don't know. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense yet, but I can kind of see it's building to somewhere.
Hmm.
I've done a little bit of reading on the internet, which indicates to me that once I get to the top of this tower, of which I'm on floor something like 35 right now, and the floors tend to come more than one at a time. Like, a stage might be floors 27 through 29, because it's not really, it's like a platforming where we're constantly trying to move upwards. So like, I'm on floor like 35 or something right now, and I get the impression I'm about 2/3 of the way to the top of the tower, but also I've read things that indicate that going to the top of the tower is like only the first part of the game, and it drastically changes after that. So I'm kind of curious to see what happens when I actually get there, but yeah, I don't know. It's not really doing it for me, but at the same time, I can't really exactly pinpoint why. It's just kind of boring. They have these little bonus stages called Shadow Corridors. They don't amount to anything. Basically, there's one per stage, and you go in there, and there's like a little mini level, and when you beat it, you gain some life and experience, and that's it. Sometimes you have to go through them. Sometimes you have to find them and unlock all of them, I guess. But they don't really do anything. And the irritating thing about those is they have these puzzles inside of those shadow corridors where you stand on a specific spot and then you use the D-pad to move the light source 90 degrees to the left or 90 degrees to the right, which completely changes the platforms, because the shadows completely morph into different things. Like, if you're looking at it, if you're in front of a staircase and you rotate it, the staircase becomes a wall because it's just, you know, you're changing the angle at which the shadow is being casted. That's a really cool idea, but there's no consequence for getting it wrong. If you get it wrong, you die. But by dying, really all that happens is you go back to the place you were before you did it. No other consequence. Then you do it the other way. So basically it's, okay, I'm going to go up to this little platform and try a thing, and if that thing fails, I'll try the other thing. There's no other consequence for it. It's a cool effect, but it achieves nothing. There's no benefit of doing it. There's no hindrance to getting it wrong. So I don't know. It's just, the whole thing kind of feels like half thought through. But that said, there are some parts of the game that are really, really neat. Like, basically, whenever I see my character change shape because the shadow is being cast on like an angled wall, like it's a really cool effect. But I feel like I'm rambling at this point. I haven't really said anything all that interesting about this game because this game hasn't shown me anything all that interesting yet. So I'll talk about it a little bit more next week after I've gotten to the top of the tower and figure out what comes next. Right now I can't say.
I hope it gets better. It seemed like it was going to be an interesting game.
Yeah, it did.
It seems like
it's worth. I think it's worth checking out. Maybe it's me. I don't know. I'm just not loving it. It's gotten the reviews I've seen across the net are sort of, you know, some people have really liked it. Some people haven't. I'm sort of in between right now. I really want to like this game a lot more than I actually am. But that's all I got.
cool.
All right. There you go. Zach, you got a Need for Speed Hot Pursuit for Wii to talk about?
I do. I'll keep it brief because the game's shitty. It's absolutely nothing like the real pretty and interesting games on the Xbox and PS3.
It's made by, I think, a development company that has just made, like, Burnout or Need for Speed games on Wii.
Well, they don't do a good job. it is the most personality-less game I've ever played. You kind of pick from a list of really boring-looking cars. I mean, they're all licensed, so they have recognizable body types, but there's, you know, no racing stripes or anything. Nothing really makes the car compelling. And then what you do is you go. There's just a career mode. There's career and time trial.
Any multiplayer?
In time trial. You can have up to four players play, so that's kind of your only multiplayer option.
That kind of sucks.
It really is your only multiplayer option. There's no online mode.
Oh, yeah. Just speaking of multiplayer, that Worms game has online, which seems good. It's just that I couldn't fucking find a match.
Okay. Wait, what does? Sorry?
The Worms game,
I was talking about before. Yeah. It has online, but I could not find a match, and I tried probably on and off for like an hour.
Gotcha. Well, wish this game had some online, because the career mode, while maybe interesting, is just gets old after a while. You go through these four cities, and each city has a few stages to complete challenges in, and the challenges are real straight, like elimination races or a time trial, you know, crap like that, and or get away from the cops. Because it is Hot Pursuit, and the cops are supposedly a big part of the game, but they're really not. They only show up if you cause a lot of commotion, and then you can easily outrun them. But the game just looks bad. It doesn't look bad. It just looks incredibly vanilla. You know, there are no effects or anything. It just looks like a bunch of flat colors for the cities. Yeah, it's just
boring. I reviewed Need for Speed Nitro last year, and like, that was a serviceable racing game. I really enjoyed it, but part of the reason why I enjoyed that is because it had a very distinct visual style, and it seems like this game does not.
No, it doesn't at all. Everything blends together. All the cities blend together, and
that sucks.
And you know what's sucky is that there's no announcer, and the car sounds are, you know, very generic, vroom vroom, and the music is kind of in the background, and it's this third tier Tony Hawk faux rock music that you'd never listen to if you had the time. So it's really just kind of dull. You know, you're going through the motions. You really are, the whole game. So I don't like it at all, but you know, well, what are you going to do?
And that's sad because the HD version of the game really pushed systems and had some innovative multiplayer stuff, asynchronous multiplayer stuff.
Yeah. What's that mean, asynchronous multiplayer stuff?
Huh?
What's that mean, asynchronous?
You're competing with people but not playing with them at the same time. So like Geometry
that's cool.
Wars. Like
leaderboards,
that's cool.
Basically.
But, gotcha.
Yeah, leaderboards.
So like you're racing their ghost or
ghost
something?
Ghost races, stuff like that.
I see. That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, this game has none of that.
You can't really do either of that. Although you can make a good-looking game on the Wii. But I can see...
Well, these guys made no effort. I mean, that's the problem with this game.
Well, I mean, there's no reason to make an effort.
Well, that's true.
That's a larger problem.
There's no scope. There's no ambition in this game. And yeah, they'll probably sell like 10 copies, and they didn't have much of a reason to do it. But it really is just a boring-ass game.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say. Don't play it.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to do us for what you're reviewing. And now let's just move on to the news. First up, we had Nintendo World 2011 over in Japan this past week. Our own James Charlton and Matt Walker were in attendance. They had 3DS was playable to the public for the first time. They had games like Ocarina of Time, Street Fighter IV, Kid Icarus Uprising, all playable. And we have a lot of coverage from that. That's really awesome. Including this really, really kick-ass video.
That's great.
Is super well put together.
Yeah,
that James Charlton made, and you get to see what he looks like too, which I had never seen before. So that was fun. But yeah, lots of great coverage from that event. So go check it out on the website, NintendoWorldReport.com.
Heck yeah.
And we will be talking a lot more about the 3DS next week because that will be the big New York North American press conference slash playable stuff. And I will be there and I will be talking about it on the show next week.
That's pretty exciting.
But let's talk a little bit about the 3DS now. The 3DS Japanese launch lineup has been announced. And what we got is on February 26th. The only Nintendo game is Nintendogs plus Cats. You also have Ridge Racer 3D from Namco Bandai. You have Winning Eleven 3D Soccer from Konami. Street Fighter, Super Street Fighter 4 3D Edition from Capcom. Samurai Warriors Chronicle from Tecmo. Puzzle Bobble 3D from Square Enix. Combat of Giants Dinosaurs 3D from Ubisoft. Yeah. And Professor Layton and the Mask of Miracle from Level 5.
Yes.
I think that Professor Layton... That's a wonderful launch title. Nintendogs plus Cats seems interesting if you're into that sort of thing. Super Street Fighter 4 looks pretty cool. But other than that, it's a whole lot of crap.
It is.
Yeah.
And
all the games
this
I kind of
makes me nervous.
Back.
Yeah, this kind of makes me nervous for the North American launch because we're not getting Professor Layton and Mask of Miracle. We haven't gotten the one before it yet, and I don't think they're going to skip the game.
Yeah.
So if we're just getting about what the Japanese are getting,
the fourth one was the Spectre's Flute, right? Something like
that. Yeah, Spectre's Flute has not. I mean, that came out in Japan like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
But I guess we're due for that in the fall. But I want it sooner. I want double Layton this year. Like, give me a DS one and a 3DS one. Like, I would probably just cry out of happiness.
You know, I off topic for a second. Like we're ever on topic. I gave up on Dragon Quest IX, finally. I decided that Red Dead Redemption had kind of killed my desire to play an RPG. I put so much time into anything else. Well, I actually sold it on GooseX today. So I'm done with it, I think, for now. I did that off. I don't
Grant
keep games.
Wanted it too. Poor Grant.
He did, didn't he? Oh well. I was just going to say that with that out of my DS, for the foreseeable future, I think it's time to play Layton 2 again. We've been talking about it for so long in this podcast, and I don't know why I haven't bothered to play it. But
Andy,
I think,
that's exactly what I did.
I got with Dragon Quest out of the picture, I think it's time to finally go back to Professor. Let's do it.
Halfway through Professor Layton, so I picked it back up. I went out and bought 3 with some store credit, so I'm
there
pumped.
You go. There
I'm Laytoning.
And it's not like I didn't like Dragon Quest IX. I just, RPGs never hold my interest for more than 3 to 5 hours max. Ever.
Not 120 hours then?
No. The next attempt will be the Mass Effect series, which is my next playthrough after Red Dead. But
If you want to hear, I'll jump back into what we were talking about. But so I got Mass Effect 2. I had $10 credit from when I bought it because... I may have talked about this on the show about, like, I accidentally pre-ordered Epic Mickey on Amazon and thought I canceled it, but I did, so it just kind of showed up at my house. So I had a $10 credit on Amazon, and I used it to get Mass Effect 2 when it was on sale about $10.96. So I got it for $1, and I hadn't opened it yet, and I've had it for probably a month, $3.60.
Okay.
So I got it for $1, and then I just figured, you know what, I'll throw it up on half.com for $20, which was higher than, like, other stuff that was on there, and I was like, and if I happen to play it, I'll take it off, or, you know, I'll sell it, and I basically make $19.
You should play it.
I put it up last night, I woke up in the morning, I already sold it.
Within an hour and a half,
it was sold for $20.
Yeah, there was a Mass Effect 2 demo recently on PSN because it's coming out.
Yeah,
because
Mass Effect 2 is coming out to PS3. In January.
I didn't like the demo. It just felt stiff.
I don't feel like getting
too much into Mass Effect 2, but maybe we'll talk about it later.
But
we'll see if the Mass Effect series cures my alienation to RPGs, which has remained for many, 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 many years at this point.
Yeah.
But going back to 3DS, the Japanese launch seems kind of weak, and I guess we're all kind of unanimously agreeing about that, right, guys?
I agree.
As do I.
Yeah.
Am I the only one who actually kind of wants to play Street Fighter 4?
Oh, no, I'm really excited. I never really played that much Street Fighter 4.
Well, and also it's going to have online play.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
that
it's going
nice.
To have all the crazy Street Pass and everything and, like, Spot Pass and online.
Well, yeah.
And
the straight
3D
up
mode,
online is exciting.
Yeah, and I don't really think I'll play that 3D mode that much, but it just, it, I like how they have it in there. It seems cool.
Other than that, though, yeah, I couldn't really care less about most of these games.
Yeah. And we also heard about first-party stuff and what the tentative schedule for that is. So we got Nintendogs Plus Cats is a launch title in Japan. Steel Diver, The Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time 3D, and Pilot Wings Resort are set for spring.
Huh.
And Star Fox 64 3D and Kid Icarus Uprising, I believe, are set for summer.
Now, I seriously don't understand why Ocarina of Time isn't a launch title.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it will be in North America. We really don't know.
You know what? Maybe we'll get that instead of Layton. That's just pure speculation, but wishing, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll find out literally the next time we talk to you guys. We will know.
That's true.
I imagine.
Yes.
But I think that we're probably, I think Nintendogs Plus Cats is a lock for the North American launch. I think that is a definite. And I think we're going to get either Pilot Wings or Ocarina of Time at launch.
Well,
and
you know,
I have a feeling
Japan
will get it around the same time as well.
Yeah. But Ocarina of Time has essentially already been localized outside of menu stuff. So that might, you know, I know that's why we're not getting Layton. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
But. I mean, we'll see next week. I mean, Iwata also made a comment recently about how he wants to have the launch window a little bit more spread out, kind of lamenting how the DS and the Wii, like, you know, you had that launch and then there was basically just jack shit for like 6 months.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And it does seem like they're going to have, like, pretty much, if all five of these games come out, you know, before the end of August, you pretty much have a Nintendo first party title almost every month after launch.
That is nice.
If that's how they're going to roll it out, which, you know, that's good to see. And with the exception of Steel Diver, all four of those five other games, or all four of those games look really good. I just don't care for Steel
Diver. What is Steel Diver? I mean, I know what it is.
It's like a submarine game. I don't know. I tried playing the demo at 3DS. I think, like, Johnny played it and enjoyed it. I tried playing it, did not enjoy it. So, good for Johnny. But yeah, we'll find out more about that when it comes out sometime this year, I think. So
yeah.
There you go.
Has Animal
Animal
Crossing have any sort of a release?
No.
Estimate Rumbling yet?
Not Mario Kart and all those ones that they showed videos of. I think those are a year out at least.
You know what? Those might just be E3 surprises for fall.
Yeah, I mean they could be. Like those could be fall for all we
those
know,
could be our Kirby and DKCR. For all we know.
Yeah.
Now, Nathan, I've heard you say before, I think you maybe even said it last week on the podcast, that Animal Crossing could be very well your killer app for 3DS. It might sell you the system if they do it right.
Yeah.
And I think
they'll do City Folk with real online play.
Nothing on this list outside of Layton sells me on the 3DS. You know, a lot of it looks cool, but it's a big investment. So I want something that I can really put some time into. Get some enjoyment out of, but yeah, I hope Animal Crossing.
And I know,
is that.
I mean, kind of the point of the prediction show is just to kind of figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
But I do want to make the comment, and I know this is horribly out of place, but about all the speculation about what's coming out this fall, think back to last year. What the hell, or this time last year.
We had no idea
that Donkey Kong and Kirby and Wii Party even
Golden
existed.
Sun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Golden Sun we knew about.
That was the year before. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No,
but even still,
right.
Like, I mean, we had no idea what was on the horizon. And I mean, once again, we're in that point again. And I guess it's just because it's near the end of the console's life that we think it's just dead. But I think they're going to have some more shit at E3 that's going to surprise us and be really cool.
Be cool.
Well, hopefully. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice?
I mean, I don't want it to not do well. I don't want there to not be a good software lineup.
Yeah.
It just kind of looks bleak. You know.
I agree. But. Just figured I'd throw that out there. Yep. And let's move on to other news. Super Meat Boy WiiWare is canceled.
Yeah.
They cannot
As if
fit
it wasn't
it.
Already.
Basically, if they had a Ford, if they fit it on WiiWare, it would be a shitty version of Super Meat Boy. So Team Meat put the kibosh on that. And the possibility of a retail release seems highly unlikely. I think they pitched it to a couple publishers, and none of them have really been that receptive.
Very sad about this.
Yeah, that sucks. I mean, I have it for 360, and I probably would not double dip, but it's one of my favorite games of the entire year. So, that is unfortunate.
It is.
And to go along with that, Retro City Rampage, which was a WiiWare game that seems to be like a 8-bit GTA or something along those lines, that's been delayed. It was supposed to come out, I believe, at the end of last year, the end of 2010. That there will be an XBLA version that will come out next summer, and it's going to be a timed exclusive. And the WiiWare version is still coming, and that's a definite. That's not going to get canceled, a la Super Meat Boy. That's coming out next fall. So I mean, it just kind of sucks that, you know, two mildly high profile games that were both originally announced for WiiWare both seem to be more landmark XBLA titles than WiiWare titles.
Having trouble.
Yeah. That's where the money is. Can't blame them.
Although, you know, Retro City Rampage, I don't know if you guys have watched any footage for it or...
I really haven't.
Nothing I've seen really about it excites me all that much. There are some weird side-scrolling sections and, like, Zelda references.
I'm excited by all the references, but I don't know if I'll actually play the game.
Yeah.
But even still, I mean, it's a bummer.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
So... Yeah. I think we don't really have anything to say about that.
Nope.
So let's talk about WiiWare games that are actually out, more specifically, games that have demos. This will be somewhat of a new feature that will last for as long as we can play new demos on WiiWare.
Yeah, hopefully a frequent feature.
Yeah.
but they do seem to be Nintendo's putting up demos, it looks like, every week. So... Yeah, we'll be talking about them, and because we have a bunch of demos that we missed, we're just kind of we're going to go around, and each person's going to talk about a demo that they played.
Yeah,
starting off with you, Zach.
I played that game you all have been talking about so much.
Oh God,
Fluidity.
That's been talking about. Yeah, Fluidity.
Yeah, you and Johnny.
What did you think of the demo? I did not personally play the demo.
So. I like the demo. I like the look of the game. It teaches you the basics. There were some frustrating parts, though. Like, there's a part where you have to shoot your bunch of water up two fountains to get to a bucket and fill the bucket with water, and that releases a cog. And that was really kind of finicky. Like, you really had to finesse the... Or I should say the tilt mechanic is almost too sensitive. So when you're trying to aim the water as it's shooting out the fountain, it's pretty hard to get it real pinpointy. But I love the game as a concept, and it looks gorgeous.
It's a great game.
It is. I will say,
I gave it 9.5. Read my review.
If my Wii wasn't about to explode, I'd probably buy it. but yeah, nice. I really liked it. I recommend anyone who's listening to the podcast who has not played at least the demo to play the demo. You at the very least will get a very interesting experience out of it. Gorgeous looking game too. Gorgeous.
I actually did pick this game up. I'm about, well, I don't know, like 8 or 9 rainbow drops in or so. It's a good time. I'm enjoying
it. Yeah, it's
fun. I got stuck for a little while, but I'm not sure why I got stuck. But there was at least a good half an hour where
Andy,
I couldn't figure out.
You have to change your character, and the third one can double jump.
No, okay, right on.
No, there's a lot of points where it seems like that game kind of funnels you down to where, like,
yeah, I noticed.
Let's
that
say
too.
You can get. Well, no, like, it's like, there's a, basically, you can usually just explore, and there will be all these different rainbow drops and secrets to find, and there were, like, 2 points in the game where it felt like there was one that I had to get, and I would be kind of stuck for a little while wandering around being like, where the fuck do I go? And then finally, I'd stumble upon it. But
I think in my case, you know, it was a switch that I didn't realize was there at all, and it reversed a couple of gears, which made my water go a different way, and... That was that, but yeah, I enjoyed it. It's a good time.
You know what the last game to use the term rainbow drop was?
What?
No.
Kirby's Dream Land 2.
Oh.
That's what you were going for, rainbow drops.
Okay. It's a fact.
Thank you,
so,
Zach.
Nate?
No problem. I'm full of interesting factoids.
Newscast.
Wow. Yeah. So Nate and I both played a little game called Robox.
Hey, Neil, before we talk about Robox, when I went to the Wii Shop channel, there are 300 less points in my account. Mystery.
Uh-oh.
Anyway.
Really?
Yeah, that I had 400, sucks. Went down to 100. I bought nothing.
Nathan and the newscast crew, in the case of the missing points...
Right.
Get Layton on this one.
I need to hire Layton. Exactly.
Yeah.
Once he's done with that Spectre's flute or his miracle mask, I gotta get him.
No, it's the Mask of Miracle. It's not the Miracle Mask. It'll probably be the Miracle Mask in the North American version, so I'm going to eat crow.
That's such a broken title. I hope it changes. But anyway, speaking of broken, yeah, we both played the Robox
demo. I wouldn't really call it broken. Robox just
The robot itself is broken.
Oh, yeah, he is broken.
Excuse me. Yeah, the game isn't broken. It's just a little meh.
I don't know.
I don't.
It's basically a platformer where you're this little robot. It kind of reminded me of WALL-E, except for he has like human-like legs as opposed to like wheels.
Yeah.
And you walk around and you jump and you avoid enemies.
It seems like a platformer,
and you die.
Metroid platformer designed by committee.
Yeah.
And actually,
because what it is that like you, I guess you control like the. Like creatures inside the robot.
As you're walking around, you're collecting chunks of amber, and that somehow gives you creatures inside of you. And yeah, you're running around inside in sort of a Bowser's Inside Tale. Is that what it was called?
Inside Story.
Kind of like that, mixed with what you described to me about Monster Tale. Except it's completely separate because there's not two screens.
Yeah.
And you're kind of running around inside this guy. Not quite sure what you do, because like when I flipped a switch inside the robot, I didn't see any change to the robot.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, I feel like, I mean, the first time you do it, I guess you jump after that, but like it didn't really seem like that was tied.
You were just running, you were just walking, and then it's like, jump is now enabled.
Yeah, like, is this, Metroid Other M?
Yeah, the two didn't seem connected at all, and really... The jump that you get, I would rather you just not have it. I don't like it.
Yeah.
It feels really
bad. Yeah,
the
jump doesn't feel right, and it just felt like there were a lot of instances where it put you in a position where you had to avoid an enemy, and because of the jump, you don't really get an accurate read about how high you're going to go,
right.
How high your
character's hitbox
is. Specifically
those swinging vines with the,
oh my God.
The mace things at
like,
the end of them.
The first part of the game, I kept on dying because those vines would keep on hitting me, and like the timing's weird.
It is weird. The platforming feels bad. The shooting does not really feel satisfying.
Yep.
And
it looks good though.
Really? I mean, I would argue against that. It kind of looks
It has a neat little art style to it. It basically like I guess it's, maybe it's kind of like what Zach was saying about Need for Speed.
It looks very bland.
It doesn't quite look like shit, but it doesn't really look that good. It's like very sparse environments.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I'll give you that.
It's there.
Right. Yeah. None of the enemies looked it just looked weird. It looked kind of like a PC game, and I guess that means nothing as completely out of context quote, but I don't know.
Yeah. But,
put that on the box.
Yeah,
that
looks
like a
PC game.
put it on the Robox. Eh?
Yeah.
So, Andy, talk about Lilt Line.
Okay, I can talk about it for about as long as it took me to play it, which was about 10 minutes.
Please don't talk about it
for 10 minutes. Yeah.
I got a plane to
Nobody
catch.
Nobody wants that. Really? Where are you going?
I don't know.
He's coming up to kill you, Zach.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Lilt Line is a game where you hold the remote sort of not NES style. You hold it sideways, but with the top facing up, like a handlebar style, kind of. And you you tilt the remote forward and backwards towards you and away from you to move a line up and down on the screen. It's sort of have you guys ever played that Flash game? I think I've asked this before. It controls similar. Actually, you know what? Scratch that. The rocket barrel stages in Donkey Kong Country.
Helicopter.
The hold one button to go up, release the button to go down.
Yeah.
Levels basically.
Wait, you can hold it?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Oh.
Oh my God. You just don't tap it furiously?
Nope.
I would make you feel dumber, except for more for the fact that I went through the entire first rocket barrel stage before learning that you could just hold it.
Oh yeah,
What's wrong with both of you?
Don't get me wrong.
Played video games?
No.
Don't get me wrong. God. I thought that too for about 20 minutes or so of those stages, but I did eventually figure out you could hold the button down.
Yeah, no, I've been through five of them.
I guess what I'm getting at with this though, and yeah, you should probably go back and replay those stages. There's a Flash game that's been around for ages called Helicopter, which controls like the rocket barrel stages. And this game looks like that Flash game. Is that a stupid tangent? But like, it's basically, it's solid colors, and the line is a little white line, and like, it's constantly moving forward, and you're going through like a tunnel. It looks like an Atari 2600 game. You're going through a tunnel, there's a line in the middle of the tunnel, and you move the line up or down by twisting the remote towards you or back from you, kind of like Bit Trip Beat. And then along the way, you have to tap the 2 button, or actually any button, on the remote in beat with the song as you go through these little light-colored gates. Actually, no, they're all white gates. They use about 4 colors in the entire game. And sometimes the tunnel is like a gradient of like orange to yellow. That's as colorful as the game gets. I mean, the motion is actually very fluid. The game looks decent in motion, but a screenshot of it would look like something you drew in MS Paint in 30 seconds. Which is just, yeah, it, I don't know, it, the
so
devil.
So you, by extension, you would say it looks like a PC game.
Yeah, very much so.
I think it was a PC game, actually.
It probably was.
It was an iPhone game.
Was it?
Okay.
That kind of sounds
Andy,
right.
That's why I started laughing when you said it looks like they phoned it in.
That's funny.
Hey, did you guys know that when you play Contra, you can actually hold the button down to shoot continuously? You don't have to constantly tap the button?
Hey, Zach, are you kidding?
No, wait, no, you're kidding, right?
I'm making fun of you, Cox.
Hold the button down is the newest newscast meme. Call your congressman. Yeah. Call your mayor. Call your congressman. Anyway, it's okay. I played the demo ends after like 5 to 10 minutes. It just stops and kicks you back to the main menu.
Yeah, it seems like an interesting game. I will probably check out the demo sometime soon. Now that I'm getting back on this WiiWare, like using the Wii Shop channel again.
If this game costs really 300 points, I think it'd be a lot of fun to like just.
I think it's like 5 or 6, so it's not that
can't
far
possibly
off,
be
it's,
more.
It does
than
seem
five.
Like an interesting game, but I don't know how interesting.
There's no way this game should cost more than $5, and it shouldn't cost that. Yeah. That said, it's kind of fun, but it's kind of fun in the same way that like. A lot of other games that cost $1 on iPhone are kind of fun. You know, it's a very, very shallow experience, with very,
this
very.
This might cost $1 on iPhone.
Yeah.
So.
With very, very minimalized graphics. But the music is actually pretty decent. I'm not sure if it's licensed tracks or what, but it uses like.
I think it might be like some chiptune guy or something.
It's pretty good. The music is, pretty decent. Cause, I mean, the game is kind of a music game because you have to tap the remote, the buttons on the remote and beat with a song. So,
yeah.
It's an interesting game, but it's very, very, low maintenance in terms of visual presentation. So, cool. Check it out.
Yeah, I think.
There's a demo. Check it out.
Yeah. And that does it for the WiiWare demo segment. Yay!
Woo!
And we're going to wrap the show with a little bit of new release talk. We already talked about Lost in Shadow, which came out on January 4th. It's $39.99, published and developed by Hudson. We also got Ghost Trick, which you guys talked about last week.
Right.
That came out January 11th, and it is $29.99, published and developed by Capcom. I know I definitely really want Ghost Trick. It's just that I don't know if I have the time or money for it right now.
I don't know if I have the patience for it.
Yeah.
But that's something.
Like, I heard it's a lot of trial and error, yeah. But I finally got around to playing, well, both demos. There's the one that's on, like, GameSpot.com and then the one on, the Nintendo channel. And I had a lot of fun with it, but it's just that I don't know if I really feel the urge to rush out and buy it. Although there's a part of me that does, but there's a part of me that's just like, eh, you got other things to play.
Well, I mean, you know, if you want to know more about it, check out James's definitive review. I think that's already up, right?
Yeah, he loved the crap out of it. It's definitely, it's a game right up his alley, so.
Cool.
I can't say I'm surprised, although it's good to hear that it's all that.
Yeah.
All that and more. we also got Kingdom Hearts
Recoded.
Yeah, Kingdom Hearts Recoded. Nice. That is $34.99. It's got the little bit of the square tax. Mm-hmm. It's a Square Enix game, and it came out on January 11th. I have negative interest in this game, and I really enjoy the Kingdom Hearts series.
I'm going to hold out for the 3DS one if I'm going to buy a Kingdom
Hearts game.
Yeah,
the 3DS one looks really cool. This just looks like it's the same shit that they've been trying to spoon-feed us since Kingdom Hearts 1.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed Kingdom Hearts 1. I did not enjoy the three other games where they're like, hey, you know how you guys like Kingdom Hearts 1? Here's, like, the same levels, but slightly different.
Well, right. You know, to be fair, the 3DS one doesn't look that much different either. It's just, I like, it's prettier.
Well, I know the 3DS one, they have gone on record and saying that there will be, like, new Disney worlds that they haven't done before.
Oh, okay.
The dinosaur world.
Yes.
From what?
From Fantasia.
No.
From what?
From Disney's dinosaur.
Oh, okay.
The shitty CG one.
I was kind of
Land Before Time with CG.
I mean, that won't happen, but
also, did you notice that in that dinosaur sequence in Fantasia,
yeah.
You know, they're all starving and they're hiking across the desert, but
right.
The big carnivores are just walking right past the clearly easily eaten herbivore dinosaurs. They're just like, whatever, I'm
it
too starving
that.
To eat.
Actually, I hope that they would just make the whole game like that, Kingdom Hearts. And then just keep playing. I think they were playing that one part of the Rite of Spring during that section of Fantasia.
Yes.
The most aggravating part. The part that got Parisians to riot in the streets.
What?
When it was first performed. I
really?
Hope they just do that. Yes.
I like the demon sequence. That's cool.
Oh, maybe it wasn't Parisians. I don't know.
Some group of people.
Some people listening to music getting mad.
And the last game that we have to talk about this week is a Virtual Console release. As part of our newfound, I guess, we wear a DSI where it straight up ain't that interesting. We're just going to talk about select games and those demos.
Yep.
So the only download that was, I guess, seemingly of interest to us over the past month was Mario Party 2.
Build up your calluses, folks.
Yes. Mario Party 2 is 1,000 points. It's an N64 game. Arguably one of the best entries in the series.
I will pay 1,000 points for the bobsledding minigame.
Dude, there were some kick and like bumper balls.
Yeah.
Fucking love bumper balls.
I just wish they'd put all the Pokemon Stadium minigames on one like package and put it out on Virtual Console, because those are fucking awesome. Count
Man.
The Voltorbs!
Mario Party 2. Just good memories. Playing at my friend's house with rainbow-colored layered Jello. Yeah.
And you ate the game, too.
That, but that sounds fun.
Yeah, there was a game, too.
Yeah. No, I mean, I had tons of fun with, I mean, outside of, you know, my hands hurting, Mario Party 1
right.
and Mario Party 2.
Yeah.
I mean, I've definitely been tempted to get this, but I don't know if I ever will. It's kind of like if I'm in that perfect storm where I'm hanging out with three friends and we're like, I feel like playing Mario Party 2.
Yeah, but three of them have to have played Mario Party 2.
Right.
Yeah.
I was going to get
like
this
it
for...
I only coerce one person to play it.
My plan for New Year's was originally going to be a bottle of tequila, a couple of friends, and Mario Party 2, but then Rock Band 3 happened and... kind of took over.
Oh.
Yeah. That's what I did. Oh man, I played so much Rock Band 3. All the new additions to the party mode are so wonderful.
Yeah, they are.
Because it's just like you could all be drunk and just be like, "Fuck it, I want to play guitar in the song." And you just pick up the guitar, hit start, and you're fucking in. Like, thank you, Harmonix. That's brilliant.
Yep.
Yep.
You kind of stole it from Guitar Hero, but I don't care.
Grab a bag of weed and a bottle of wine and hit that guitar.
Yeah.
So that's
keep on banging that drum.
On that family-friendly note.
Is it safe to mix weed and wine? Might be some medical concerns there.
I don't really have any experience with that. I guess it would be fun.
Probably would.
I think, I don't have experience with the former. That's the first, right? Just to be clear.
Sure.
I don't have any experience with wine. Just kidding.
Yeah.
I don't have experience.
I imagine
with
you would
either.
Feel very antsy.
Yeah, probably. Listeners, let us know if this is a safe thing to do.
Right? It,
you'd probably
yeah,
get sleepy. I get sleepy anyway.
That just about does it for us. If you have any questions, comments, or you've smoked weed and drank wine at the same time before, email us at newscast@nintendoworldreport.com.
Also, if you have any specific demos you want us to check out, you should let us know.
We'll
check them out.
Yeah.
Yeah, because what we're going to do with the demos for anyone that gives a crap is that when new one comes out, new ones come out, we will probably play them. If there are any that we missed that you want us to cover, let us know. That's actually because
they're kind of hard to find.
They are.
Yeah. Well, there's like a demo section that you can legit. It's like a genre.
Oh, it's a genre. I hadn't thought of that.
Oh, I see.
Of course.
I think, like, there was something on the main thing for the Wii Shop channel that was like, demos, check them out. So I clicked on that thinking they would all
be
there. And they're just like,
too.
Go under genre, yeah. And there's a demo section.
Oh, I should have read.
I just ran through the new releases until I found a demo.
Yep.
Art of Balance is a demo, I think, doesn't it?
It does, and I played it. We'll talk about it after.
Awesome.
All right.
So, yeah, that's it for the show. We'll see you guys next week as we continue this march to being weekly. We'll be talking all about the 3DS and all the joys that Nintendo has in store for us and their press conference next week.
I'm excited about that.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yep.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. All right, that's it.
I'm starting.
Oh, okay.